A bill to raise compensation for people wrongfully convicted of crimes has been reintroduced in the state legislature. Supporters have been trying to pass the measure for years now. The bill has received bipartisan support before, but it stalled in the state Senate in 2016 because some senators opposed efforts to seal the criminal records of people who had been exonerated. Jarrett Adams is an attorney for the Innocence Project, which is focused on exonerating people wrongfully convicted of crimes. Jarrett, welcome back to Central Time.
How you doing? Thank you guys for having me on.
Well, can you tell us how Wisconsin stacks up compared to the rest of the country when it comes to compensation for people when they're exonerated?
It's one of the worst of the worst. I mean, they only beat out the states that don't have compensation at all. And that is saying a lot. You're talking about a $25,000 max for someone, no matter how much time they spent in prison. And the money aspect of it is one thing. But what's troubling is that, you know, no one is considering all of the other collateral damage that it causes. You're talking about people coming home from prison with absolutely nothing, and they're going home. And what is really home? Home is the house of someone else that allows you to live there. So that problem becomes family's problems. It becomes the community's problem because the person who reintegrates back into society is ill-prepared to do so and doesn't have any compensation or assistance from the state which wronged them.
And how should we think about this kind of compensation? Is it a way to say, okay, here's some help to get you started on your life outside of prison now that you've been exonerated? Or is it a way to say, hey, we got it wrong, we're sorry?
No, I mean, listen, it's a way to say, look, you know, we need to make sure that you are out here and not just out here floating in the wind and becoming a problem for everyone else who has absolutely nothing to do with this. And what I mean by that is, you know, when people are coming home from prison, especially when they've been wrong, you know, there's absolutely no expectation of when they're coming home. It's unlike when you go parole. When you're paroled, you have a parole officer. You may have this. They may have inadequate services, but they have services. When someone is exonerated, they are just released. And when they are released, after that, everything is a roll of the dice. And so it's much more than just saying, hey, we wronged you, this is what we should give you. It's the moral and ethical thing to do when the state has people who are put into office to protect the community and members are reintegrating back into the community and they are ill-prepared to do so.
Are we seeing a movement in other states around the country to increase this kind of compensation?
Absolutely. One of the leading states is Texas. Of all places, Texas has one of the best compensation statutes, and I think that a lot of the country right now is replicating what they have going on, and it's pretty much what's on the bill right now in Wisconsin. I mean, it's basically asking for $50,000 a year, plus, you know, the most important thing, in my opinion, is the health care aspect of it, the mental health care aspect of it, you know, the educational aspect of it, because the one thing you want to do is, you don't want to do is just give a bankroll to someone because if that person does not understand how to make a living for themselves, then it will be pointless. And so the educational aspect of it is important. The mental health care aspect of it is important because of the post-traumatic stresses that a person deals with while trying to reintegrate and put so much damage in the past.
Talking to Jarrett Adams, he's an attorney for the Innocence Project. We're talking about an effort in Wisconsin State Legislature right now to increase compensation for people who have been wrongfully convicted, people who have spent time in prison and then have been exonerated. Talk some more about the kind of services. You mentioned health care and mental health care. How about things like vocational training, connecting with jobs?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what I mean as far as the educational aspect of it. I mean, that's hugely important. And let me be clear when I say this. This isn't the first time this bill has been introduced, and I think that a lot of the stigmas that are attached to people who go to prison are the barriers right now to why it's taking so long to get passed. I have a very hard time believing that if this was a population of a bunch of soccer moms, that this bill wouldn't have been passed already. But because we've been made to believe in society that every person who has a pair of handcuffs on them has to be a bad person, and if they didn't do that, they did something else, we make it easily digestible for the public to not demand what should be a given, and that's people having assistance coming back from such a horrible event.
You've worked with people who have ultimately been exonerated. Talk to them. Do you feel like they feel like society views them as, you know, inmates, just like someone who was convicted of a crime that they actually did commit?
Quite frankly, they just don't know how to feel. They feel angry. They feel upset. They feel exactly where they are, which is in a no man's land. Because again, you have three different people who go in and out of prison. You have people who go there and they are convicted of crimes and they mandatory release out, which means that they serve all of their time and they're released. Either they parole out and they're out in probation for a few years. And then you have those who are exonerated of a crime, proven to not have done it, and they're released. The only one of that group that gets absolutely nothing and there are no setups or anything for them are the exonerated folks. So they just don't know how to feel. They just don't know how to feel. And I am a part of that conversation and a part of that population. Although I was able to make a dramatic turnaround, I am aware that one of the things that allowed me to do this was that I came home with my youth. There are a lot of people who are coming home at the age of retirement with absolutely nothing to retire on.
And as you say, this was your story, not just as an attorney, but as someone wrongfully convicted yourself. What is it maybe in your own story that made a difference that we could hopefully replicate with other people being exonerated?
I have to go back to the mental health care aspect. My family encouraged me to go and seek therapy, but that is a lot easier said than done because, you know, I didn't have a job. It wasn't until I got a job where I was able to have insurance to go and get that therapy. So just imagine for people who are coming home in their 50s, late 50s, early 60s, and they don't have, you know, the physical ability to go get a job. So they don't have insurance, and they never have the opportunity to get the desperately needed mental health care.
Are we seeing people, those people you mentioned in their 50s, maybe even 60, being exonerated after 30, 40 years in prison?
You are seeing a wide range, and usually when a person is exonerated at that age, usually they have served close to two decades or over a decade in prison, and it's something that, you know, if you look at the case of Robert Lee Stinson, you know, Wisconsin, you know, he was compensated. He had to do a special bill to be compensated. So if that special bill was passed through, why can't there be an overall bill to not only ensure that the people who have been injured by the state are coming home to something to be able to put their lives back together, but again, to also take into account of the family members, the community that they reintegrate back into, have the resources to make sure that they're not a burden to the community.
Are you hopeful now that the bill may pass this time in the legislature?
I'm extremely hopeful. And if it doesn't go around this time, we'll be back again. But I also, you know, have to ask myself, why on earth wouldn't a bill like this be passed? And they can't use the excuse of, oh, well, you know, there's one thing holding it up, and that's the records and filling the records. Look, that is trivial. You handle that. You can handle that and deal with that in a variety of different ways. The most important thing right now is that men and women are not coming home to absolutely nothing.
Jarrett, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. And one more thing.
Sure.
I have recently left the Innocence Project, and I am now out on my own. I've started my own law practice.
Okay, thank you. We will fix that on our website. So that's Jarrett Adams, an attorney. He's been working over the years with people who have been wrongfully convicted. He joined us to share his take on Wisconsin legislation that would raise compensation for people who had been wrongfully convicted.